Good morning. Your voices are not that weak. I know you're young, you've been singing, but come on, let's do it again. Good morning. You can tell I was a teacher, right? Okay. It's an honor and a wonderful homecoming for my daughter Emma and me to be here with you today. I have fond memories of teaching in the English department here, and my son Clark and my daughter Emma and my daughter-in-law Valerie all graduated from Asbury. And however, it wasn't until a few weeks ago that I realized what an important role Hughes Chapel played in my family's life. I'd always assumed that Clark and Valerie had begun their courtship over in the Hammond Ray building, the science building. But at a family dinner a few weeks ago, I learned that Clark had not only been checking on his little sister up in the freshman balcony, but he had been checking out the cute math major sitting directly in front of his little sister. So in addition to thanking Greg and Joy and the Cornerstone Council and the awesome Women's Retreat leadership team, I also want to publicly thank, for the first time, Hughes Chapel for giving me a wonderful daughter-in-law. Today we're going to be talking about another kind of courtship, the courtship and all too often the breakup of today's modern culture with the Sabbath bride. It's interesting that we know virtually nothing about Jesus when he was your age. We don't know what college he went to. We don't know who he liked on Facebook. We don't know what computer games he played. But what we do know is what he was doing every Sabbath eve of his life. Every week, Jesus and his family were welcoming the Sabbath bride. Today, observant Jews continue to welcome the Sabbath by reciting three prayers. I was raised in a conservative Jewish home, and like Jesus' family, I grew up saying these prayers every Friday night. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, borei peri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives us the fruit of the vine. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives us bread from the earth. I hope I don't set off any fire alarms there, but... Blessed are you, I'm sorry, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kedishanu b'mitzvata v'tzivanu lehalik ner shel Shabbat. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who gives us Sabbath light. As you know, for most Christians, the Sabbath practice has been shifted from Saturday to Sunday. But our generation, mine and especially yours, is the first in history that has not only shifted the Sabbath, but has tossed it out. We are the first generation to be on the go 24/7 without a pause. Little wonder then that most of us are feeling too busy, too stressed, like our lives are stretched too thin. What effect does going 24/7 have on our relationships with family, friends, and God? And how could restoring a weekly day of rest bring more balance into your lives? First, let me give you a little bit of personal background. As I said earlier, I was raised in a conservative Jewish home, and I met my husband when I was 18 years old, home studying for my first set of college finals. This good-looking carpenter came to install a bay window in my parents' kitchen, and my parents' worst nightmare began to unfold before their eyes. Their 18-year-old Jewish daughter fell in love with the non-Jewish carpenter. And so when we decided to get married, neither of our families were happy about it. And so we said, forget religion. If that's what religion is all about, we don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, in my culture, if you can't be born into a Jewish home, what's the next best thing? You become a doctor, of course, right? So that's what my husband did. And after medical school and residency, he built me a beautiful home, and we filled it with beautiful things. But there was an emptiness inside. For 2 decades, we pursued the American dream, running around with our 2 children on the hamster wheel of life. Then, one slow Sunday afternoon, by God's grace, my husband wandered out into the patient waiting area, and there amongst the People magazines and the National Geographics, he picked up an orange book. And that orange book was a Bible. And despite us having thousands of books back home, we didn't own a single Bible. And so, my husband stole it. No worries, it was a Gideon's Bible. But that Bible changed our lives. Our entire family became followers of Christ. And this was no lukewarm conversion. Jesus turned our world upside down. My husband quit his job as chief of the staff and director of emergency services. We sold our big home. We got rid of more than half of our possessions. And we dedicated the rest of our lives to serving God, even if it meant never collecting another paycheck. When we travel to Christian colleges, we ask students if they are keeping a 24-hour Sabbath, a full day set aside for the Lord. And less than 5% are saying that they are keeping a full day of Sabbath rest. When we go to churches, it's the same story. Less than 5% are telling us that they are dedicating a full day to the Lord. So, what's happened to our stop day? For that's what Sabbath means, to stop, to cease. When I was growing up, stores were closed on Sundays, families spent time together, and the hay was left in the field even if it was about to rain. These societal norms came to us via God's 4th commandment. There are 613 laws in the Bible, many of which no longer seem to apply, unless you were thinking about eating a grasshopper sometime soon. But the top 10 are still in full effect for all times and for all people. The 4th commandment is the longest of the commandments, longer than the 6 that follow it, all put together. Here's what the 4th commandment says, written by the finger of God. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas, and everything that is in them. But he rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The root of the word holiday comes from holy day, and that's what Sabbath is supposed to be, both a holiday and a holy day, a day to pray and a day to play. But the world is speeding up. In the last 20 years, work is up 15% and leisure is down 30%. We have relationships that are a mile wide and an inch deep. We spend more time with our smartphones than we do with God. In the book, The Blue Zones, a social scientist studied groups of people around the world who live significantly longer than average. In the United States, the group that he studied were the Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda, California, who live on average 11 to 12 years longer than the rest of Americans. It's interesting to note that if we add up a lifetime of Sabbaths, it also equals 11 to 12 years. Perhaps that's a coincidence, but it seems to me that in keeping the Sabbath, The Adventists did not lose time. They gained life. When I started teaching, I had a student named Clinton. On the first day of class, I asked students to write an ungraded paper just so I could assess their writing abilities. Clinton turned in a 3-page paper, and it did not have a single paragraph indentation. It did not have a single period, comma, or semicolon. It was one long run-on sentence. And that's what our life has become, one long run-on sentence. Pauses are important. Compare "let's eat, comma, grandma" with "let's eat grandma." Yeah, that's English major humor, but the lesson is universal. God wants to punctuate your lives with rest. Jewish scholars have argued for centuries over the definition of rest. I'm going to give you a definition that's easy to remember. Figure out what work is for you and don't do it one day out of 7. The definition of work and rest can change over time. If we beam some ancient Egyptian slaves into a modern office building and show them people sitting in comfortable chairs, tapping away at a pad, they would have a hard time identifying that as work. Now, if we show them people dressed in spandex, sweating under a hot sun, racing in a 5K fun run, they would not link that with rest. Societal norms may change over history, but holy rest is eternal. I try to follow these 3 guidelines when I keep my weekly day of rest. 1, it should not involve commerce. 2, I should not be involved in any activities that make me prideful. And 3, I should not interfere with anybody else's day of rest. Early in his ministry, Jesus reads from Isaiah and declares that he is the Jubilee. Jesus is the Sabbath, come to help the blind see and set the captives free. So, why are so few of us keeping the Sabbath and turning our burdens over to Jesus? Even when we do keep the Sabbath, there are always temptations, often in the guise of serving God. When my husband and I started our ministry, Blessed Earth, we were inundated with speaking requests. We felt so called to the work that God put before us that we said yes to everything. We found ourselves booked 7 days a week, months on end, and even though we were preaching about a healthy relationship with God and others, we were missing the message. It took a toll on our marriage and our home life, and Matthew began to have serious heart issues. Then one day, God sent 2 wake-up calls. In the morning, the phone rang. It was the pastor of a church where Matthew had spoken, and that pastor had called to thank Matthew for the message that he had shared and said some terrific things had happened at his church since then. But the real reason that he was calling was the brief mention that Matthew had made about the Sabbath. The pastor had always taken Mondays off, but he used that day to run errands and to get caught up. Now, every Monday, he was spending time outdoors in God's creation, and the depression that he had struggled with for over 20 years had finally lifted. Later that same day, I brought in the mail. There was a letter from another pastor. It was a handwritten note of encouragement thanking Matthew for our ministry. At the end of the letter, there was a P.S. Are you keeping the Sabbath? Busted, twice in one day. God had to send 2 messengers to wake us up. So, why do we keep a weekly day of rest? Why should you? God gave us the Sabbath because he knows what's best for us. When we experience real rest, the time that we spend working becomes more meaningful. Stress levels go down. Relationships with families and friends are given priority. Mind, body, and soul are given the time and space to heal. Most importantly, it provides time and space to be with God. Sabbath is a foretaste of heaven. The more you experience Sabbath rest, the more you will crave it. It's the highlight of my week. It's what the other 6 days build toward and spring from. My husband and I would literally not have the physical, emotional, and spiritual energy to continue our ministry if we did not have our weekly Sabbath rest. So, what does our stop day look like? When Clark and Emma were still at home, we cleaned the house together on the day before the Sabbath. The kids would get their homework done by Saturday evening. On Sunday morning, we walked to church, we came home, we ate lunch, and then we put it in park for the rest of the day. What do? We read books, we take naps. Emma and I like to play Scrabble.
I like to beat her at Scrabble.
She does. At least three quarters of the time she beats me at Scrabble. But you know, it's Sabbath, it's not competitive, okay? And am I a good mother? I don't want to interfere with her Sabbath rest. I also like to read through the Bible every year, and so on Sundays I take as much time in Scripture that I want. I don't have to rush through. I also try to include some time in silence to stop the chatter in my brain and really listen for what God is trying to say in my life. And Sabbath is the one day of the week that I do not check my email, but I do eat chocolate. Ultimately, experiencing Sabbath rest is something you just have to do. I can talk about how wonderful ice cream tastes to you all day long, but you really won't know how great it is until you try it. So, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Commit to a month of weekly Sabbaths. Experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. It will change your relationships with family, friends, and God. It will change you. And that change can begin right now. For the next couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to take out your pew cards and work with your chapel buddy. I want you to check off a few ways that you can prepare for the Sabbath, a few things that you can do on the Sabbath, and a few things that you don't want to do on the Sabbath. I'll give you a couple of minutes, and then we'll reconvene. Okay, folks, congratulations. You have just taken the first step toward establishing what I hope will become a lifelong rhythm of work and rest. Before we close, Emma is going to share with you a meditative practice. It uses Psalm 46:10, taking off one word at a time. After she finishes, please sit in silence for 1 minute so we can begin practicing Sabbath peace. At the end of a minute of silence, Emma will pray for us.
Would you bow your heads with me? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Lord, please forgive us for failing to open your gift of a weekly day of rest. You rested on the seventh day, and so should we. Teach us to trust that working 6 days is enough. When we have big tests and deadlines approaching, help us to plan ahead and trust in you. Fill our hearts with joy as we commit to a month of weekly stop days, and encourage us to welcome the Sabbath bride each and every week with open arms and loving hearts. May your rhythm of work and rest become a lifelong habit. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Go in peace.